Is it as frustrating for you guys as it is for the passengers?
It is.
Because presumably, if you get there and you get back, oh, well, I'm on the shift for 12 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't make an extra difference, an hour or so.
Mm-hmm. It is, because we have a maximum amount of time we can work in a duty day. And as a captain, I can use my discretion to extend that to accommodate the entire duty. But there is a limit to that. And if you get delayed beyond that limit, you can't do it.
If you're delayed,
yeah.
Okay, I'm not going on Seinfeld here. If you're going delayed, you're up there, you're delayed by an hour, we're up in the sky finally, why can't you put your foot down and go a bit faster?
It's a maximum speed on the airplane.
What do you mean there's a maximum speed? Well, there's always a bit more. The maximum speed on that speedo on the car, it says 160, but you can get it a bit more out of it.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that in an airplane,
no?
Unfortunately, no.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I've tried.
So there's no real way, unless you get a bit of a favourable breeze, you can't change a little bit of route. You think, oh well, I'll just cut a bit of corner here. I'll miss off going to Ireland. We'll just head straight down the front. There's no real way when you're behind.
Not really. Flight plans are usually the shortest route anyway, so more or less the shortest. So you can shave a couple of minutes off it, but when you're delayed, it's called a delay for a reason.
Okay. You know. I'm just getting warmed up here. I've got a pilot on the other side. What do you guys do? We're getting on the plane, right? We're trying to work out where we're sat, and me being me, I'm always by a screaming baby. What is it you guys are doing when we have... Because we always look left. You get on a plane, you always have a little look, see what the pilot's doing, and you seem to be drinking coffee or doodling, or what is it you're actually doing before the taxi back and the pull back?
Everything. That's kind
Such
of
as, what
the
do
highest
you do?
Part. All right, so we're getting the clearance from air traffic control for the flight plan. We have to get it authorized and get our permission to take up the route. That's usually where we find out if we have a restriction on our takeoff time. The dispatchers are coming in asking questions, any problems they have, any issues.
Yeah.
Wow, what else did we do? We're working out the mass and balance, how many passengers we have, how they're distributed through the airplane, because it's...
Whoa. This is radio. What Taz is doing right now is he's moving his hands left and right as though he's balancing a little bit. So are you honestly telling me this is a load of rubbish where you've got to get the weight distribution on a certain size? Are you saying that one guy who's 5 foot, let's say he's 5 foot five, has to move from the left-hand side of the plane to the right-hand side of the plane with someone who's 6 foot and maybe a few stone heavier just to make sure everything's okay when we're flying? Really? With all those bags underneath and the luggage moving around?
I didn't make the rules, man.
But
we just have to do it. Yeah.
Seriously, you're telling me this?
Yeah. Then your weight determines how you calculate your takeoff speeds, how much thrust you need to get in the air,
right,
depending on the ambient conditions, because an airplane engine is like a car engine.
I'm with you, but you're saying 3 stone on left or right makes a big difference.
No, not left or right, but 3 stone in front or back, yes.
That's one step away from getting everyone on the scales before they go and get the seat distributed.
I know, yeah.
So you're genuinely doing all these things. You're not talking to, the second pilot and saying, seeing the waitress back there, seeing the stewardess back there. It could be a stopover tonight. You're not doing any of that?
I couldn't possibly comment.
All right. During the course of the flight, right?
Yeah.
Because, of course, planes fly themselves these days, don't they?
Yes,
that must really annoy you. When people say that, that must annoy you.
That grates me. That's nearly as bad as first officers. Oh, so now you're a pilot now. You know, it's... Okay.
So what do you do? There we are. It's going to be 4.5 hours to Manchester. Plane's taken off. We're at cruising speed. Right? What happens during that time?
We are like guardian angels. We're monitoring the systems. We're configuring the autopilot to do what we're expecting it to do. And we're monitoring. We're talking to air traffic control. Each country, more or less territorially defined, has different air traffic controllers. So from here, you'll talk to Portuguese, Moroccan, in that order, Moroccan, then Portuguese, then you'll talk to Spanish controllers, then the French, then the English if you're going to London. So you have to change the frequency and keep in touch with them. You have to monitor the emergency frequency. You know, you're looking out for forest fires, you're looking out for other airplanes and all these things. And
so you keep your headphones on and move the dial?
Pretty much. And don't forget the drinking coffee part.
Obviously drinking coffee. Okay. I know a few during a few years I've met a few captains.
Yeah.
And you guys all sound the same. Now, when they give you your wings, do they sit you aside and say, right, we're going to spend the next couple of hours teaching you how to talk like a pilot? Because it's all the same. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm now flying at 36,000 feet. And you always do this, if you look to your right-hand side, you'll see we are currently flying over Rome, which, of course, is in Italy. And we'll be about 4.5 hours away from landing, so do sit back and enjoy the flight, and I'll get back to you a little bit later on. Did you go to courses for that?
No, we just copy each other, really. That's
because I'm not flying. I'm not hearing a guy in a thick Brummie accent in the captain's seat.
But eat meat, yeah.
No, thick Brummie accent. So you don't get that training for that?
No. I've heard rumours that a certain British flag carrier airline has actually got elocution classes, but we don't do that in Norwegian.
Are there approaches?
Giggity.
I was hoping to get through this without a quagmire gag. Are there some approaches which are better than others? Are there some airports which are like Rolls Royce of coming into land or takeoff? This may seem silly, but there must be some that are better than others, be it crosswinds, be it the fact that the weather conditions can change, because Los Rodeos Airport in the north of Tenerife with the fog and stuff has got to be one of the worst to try and fly into.
I've never actually flown into there myself, but I've been a passenger on Venture Airlines going in there. Every time I kind of kiss the ground when I get off the airplane. But Tenerife is pretty hairy. That's fun. I did that a couple of days ago, and the wind changes around a lot. And you gotta be fast. You gotta be quick with your reactions with the airplane. London Gatwick will never cease to impress me because the control is there. I mean, it's the busiest single runway airport in the entire world, and you're 2 miles away from each other, and they'll clear an airplane to take off just before you land, and just as they're lifting off, you're coming over the threshold, and I love it. It's kind of like this. It's like, I don't know, reaching the best maestro in the world, conducting everything, and it's really nice.
So there you are. You're coming into land. Yep. It's been 4.5 hours. You're just cruising past Guaza. Mm-hmm. You're coming over Palmar. You're over Golf del Sur. You're just coming in. You put the wheels down. Everything's fine, nice and smooth, and then you hear it. Do you think to yourself, I'm just doing my job? Why do people clap?
We like it. We don't mind.
Look, just a couple more.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you get on the plane, sometimes the first officer is there, sometimes it's the pilot, sometimes it's the head purser. They see you, right? They look at you, and do they sometimes think, where's the captain?
I've had this twice in airports now, where I've had somebody look me square in the face, a dispatcher, a ground handler, and be like, where's the captain? You know. And 2 days ago when I was in Germany, they said, I hope you don't mind me asking, but how old are you? It's like, oh, 26. And what? You know.
I have to ask you, final question.
Yeah.
When you're up there flying, when you're up there and you've got a full plane and everything's on time and you get the most wonderful views up there from 35,000 feet, and obviously you're looking on your Facebook and you're updating your Twitter and you're playing Tetris or whatever it is up there, do you get that little fleeting glance through the window where you maybe see the sun or maybe see the moon, and you look at yourself back as being that six-year-old boy going, yeah, this is the best feeling in the world?
It's a feeling I will never take for granted. Especially coming down to the Canaries, for example, you see at least 3 or 4 shooting stars per flight if you're arriving in the evening. You see the sunset, you see city lights, you see firework displays all over Europe. There is a lot there, and I will never take it for granted. I appreciate it, and I know a lot of people get frustrated and start to see it as a job, and they forget how fortunate they are to actually be in the position that we have. And they start to lose that. So they'll sit there and whinge about contracts, about this, that, and the other, and not actually take in and appreciate the full thing that's actually what they have.
Captain 200, cheers. I will finish this. I've had an email pass through to me, and the email says, please keep this anonymous. I'm listening to you from Gran Canaria. Morning, Gran Canaria. I am a cabin crew member working for Norwegian in Gran Canaria, and just wanted to say that flying with Captain Taz is amazing. He's an excellent colleague. Despite his young age, he could be 60 years old. He will still transmit the same extraordinary professionalism, maturity, confidence, team feeling, and respect for others that he does now. He's a person I truly admire.
Oh, my God. That is overwhelming.
I got him. Taz, it's been great to have you on. We've really appreciated the chat. Stay safe, my friend, and fly for many more years to come.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man.